ABC Radio Australia.
Now, traditional medicines in Samoa and New Zealand are currently being studied to treat illnesses like dengue, Zika and measles. Dr. Natalie Netzler, a senior lecturer at the University of Auckland, is investigating this and she joins me this morning to chat about it. Kia ora, doctor, and welcome to Pacific Beat.
Hello, Balava. Thank you for having me.
Lovely to have you. Dr. Netzler, tell me about this study that you're looking at. How has this come about?
Yeah, so it's sort of come from a number of different strands that are being woven together. So the first major issue is that out of the almost 300 viral diseases that cause human harm, we, despite all of modern medicine, only have a small number of tools to combat these viral diseases. So there are only vaccines to prevent around 25 viral diseases, and there are only antivirals to stop about 11 types of viruses that cause disease. And so you can see there's this huge gap, and it leaves billions of people worldwide vulnerable to a lot of these different viruses, particularly things like measles, which is seeing a huge upsurge, and of course dengue and Zika, with dengue being a massive issue in the Pacific right now. The other issue is that these viruses such as measles, dengue and Zika that have this huge impact on the Pacific, they have no antivirals available. So there are no solutions. And growing up, my dad was born and raised in Samoa, and through my mum, we have heritage to Indigenous Māori here in Aotearoa, New Zealand. And so growing up, I was exposed to traditional medicines. If we had a headache, we would go to dad, who would give us a traditional Samoan fofoa, a very firm Samoan massage. And he would, when he lifted his hands away, the headache would be gone, just like Samoan magic. So I think the value of these traditional medicines has been really embedded in my life from an early age. And the idea behind the study is to work together in partnership with traditional healers, having Samoan oversight and governance, and here in Aotearoa, New Zealand, having that Māori governance to make sure that we do everything right, but trying to use Indigenous innovation to solve these global problems and to try and find accessible antivirals for our Pacific communities.
Traditional healing in Samoa obviously goes back thousands of years. What are, and then obviously in Aotearoa as well, what types of traditional remedies or practices that have historically helped treat people in these countries is still sort of practiced today?
Actually, particularly in Samoa, you know, we have to understand for most of our Pacific neighbours, their medical health systems don't have the same funding that a lot of higher income nations like Australia and Aotearoa New Zealand have. And so for a lot of these people in these nations, you know, if you get cancer, there's not necessarily the chemotherapy you need. If you have a viral disease such as COVID, there's not necessarily the antivirals that are accessible. And most of their health funding is spent on medical evacuations to other nations for care. And so if you think about it, there's this huge gap in antivirals and medicines there in the Pacific. And so really what this has come out of is that there are all these viral diseases and there's really no care. And so we're trying to find solutions for that together in partnership. And although I can't reveal the specific traditional medicines that can be used, because we have a trust system where we code name the traditional medicines that are sent to me. So I test them blinded. Nothing is stored in the cloud. We don't send anything over email. These measures are put in place to protect the Indigenous intellectual property of the traditional medicine holders. We have to understand that this is a livelihood for a lot of these people, and so we can't be sharing the names of the plants. And so there's this whole sort of system of protection around keeping their knowledge safe and using their knowledge to feed back so that they can then use that information to better treat their patients. And so it's a really just layers of protection, and the whole idea of this study is that we will go forward and see what might work against viruses like dengue, measles and Zika and feed that back and then look at other options for pharmaceutical drugs. What is important is that we've already worked together with trusted partnerships with the Scientific Research Organization of Samoa, so SHROS, and we have found previously that there are two traditional medicines that are effective against the virus that causes COVID. So we're really hopeful that we'll be able to find some solutions for these other viruses too. And it's important to note, as you mentioned, these have been developed over millennia, but these were developed against traditional applications. So things that it existed before Europeans arrived. But the fact is that when Europeans arrived, they brought all of these new viral diseases, such as measles and influenza and smallpox. These are viruses that we didn't have traditional medicines developed against. So this is working in partnership to find new applications for these effective traditional medicines.
Have you faced any challenges in this process at all about trying to validate Indigenous medicinal knowledge, especially coming up against the Western health system?
I think what's really key here is that I really want to get the strong message across that this study is not about validation of traditional medicines. We absolutely know traditional medicines work against their traditional applications. This study is all about finding new applications for these existing traditional medicines, which we know are safe and effective against their original target disease. So one of the major challenges that we've faced is trying to incorporate this Indigenous innovation while protecting it. So it's really critical that we protect the intellectual property of these traditional knowledge holders while using it as a springboard of Indigenous innovation to find solutions against these viral diseases. And so to do that carefully, we have independent governance, and the governance group spans everything from government to clinical workers to community, traditional healers, sustainability groups. And the idea is that we do everything in a way that is not extractive. So the benefits need to come back into those communities from where that Indigenous knowledge comes from, and it's all around protecting that. So one of the challenges is trying to make sure we get that balance right so that we're protecting those traditional medicine healers and also building on that to find new applications. And so the only way you can do this is through true trusted partnerships, and we have a number of safeguards in place to protect that Indigenous knowledge.
One of the, I guess, concerns around traditional medicine or the system around it can be seen, I guess, in Samoa, obviously to do with measles. We've had outbreaks of measles where, sadly, many children have died. And there was a distrust of the Western health system and a distrust of vaccines. How do you see that juxtaposition, that tension moving forward? What is your message to people who might be hearing this about the importance of both vaccines and Western medicine, and also the importance of traditional Indigenous medicine as well?
Oh, look, that's such a great question, and I'm so glad you asked it. I think it's really important that everybody here's my message, and that prevention is always better than cure. You absolutely want to prevent things like measles if you can before you have to cure it. So I would say for those that can be vaccinated with MMR, I would absolutely encourage you. But the reality is that because of the type of vaccine that MMR is, not everyone can be vaccinated. And so people that are pregnant, or if you have a major problem with your immune system, or if you're under 12 months of age, if you're a little baby, then you can't be vaccinated with MMR. And so if you cannot prevent, then that's the point where I would say the wonderful solution that could come out of this study is an antiviral to treat measles infection. And we don't have that currently. So I see them as complementary, but I would always say that prevention is always better than cure.
And how long is this study going on for?
Yeah, so the idea is the study is a four-year study. I'm funded for 4 years to look at these solutions for dengue, Zika, and measles. And we can look further from that if possible. But we're already working with trusted partners. So we've been working for some time on respiratory viruses and had some really exciting results to come out of that we're yet to get sign off to share, but really promising results there. And so we're hoping that within 4 years, we will be able to find what works against these viruses, feed that back to the traditional healers, and then they can start to implement that already with their patients. What's also important is that we can then find the bioactive properties, so the parts of the plant that are working as antivirals, and then work with chemists to make synthetic analog, so make like little tweaks on the chemical that's causing that antiviral activity, so that we can patent that and then take that forward to be sort of through drug development and pharmaceutical trials, and protect that Indigenous traditional knowledge by slightly changing it and making sure that the patent benefits come back to those communities.
Well, it sounds very interesting, and looking forward to seeing what results you might get. Dr. Netzler, thank you so much for joining me here this morning.
Thank you so much for having me. Go well.
That was Dr. Natalie Netzler, a senior lecturer at the University of Auckland, speaking to me there.